Hello and welcome to the official Robcast podcast. I'm your host, Rob, and this is my podcast.
Hello, podcast land. This is a special podcast. We're doing it from Down Under. So apparently what happens when you do it from Down Under is you start doing a terrible Aussie / New Zealand accent. So that's what we're doing today. Also, I should point out that I just woke up, so I've got what's called morning voice, and morning voice is a great way to do a podcast because it's a very deep and sultry voice. Now I'm going to do Michael Caine. Good night, you princes of Maine, you kings of New England. I'm Michael Caine. A little adjustment here back to the normal voice. If you've stuck with us through that minute of ridiculousness, then congratulations, you've won nothing. You've won nothing but 19 more minutes of ridiculousness. Now, some people ask me, why don't you just get to the point in your podcasts? Well, I think unfortunately those people are missing the point. There actually is no point to my podcasts. Sure, I may end up on a topic that may have some semblance of importance, seems like it's more important than the topic which I began with, but it's all an illusion. Everything I talk about it has equal weight. To me, at least. It's like asking a mother which one of her children are her favorite. She just won't answer you. She may have a favorite, but she's not going to tell you. No, that's not true. Mothers don't have favorites. They love all their children equally. Equally. Just like Mother Nature doesn't have a favorite. She loves all her children equally. Yeah, had to take a sip of water. You know, just thinking about Mother Nature and life cycles and how it all works. It's interesting because human beings are aware of their own mortality. I think they're acutely aware of their own mortality. And by so doing, it gives them not only a biological clock that ticks, but a psychological clock as well that, you know, we have a clock ticking the minute we get up in the morning. We go, oh, I'm up in the morning. Okay, what do I need to do? You know, you've already started a list. Forget the dream that you just had. You dissolve that dream away. It could have been the most epic dream, but the second your alarm wakes you up, you go, oh, I got to get up right now. Okay, what do I got to do? I got to shower. I got to brush my teeth. I got to bake my oatmeal. I got to get to work before rush hour starts. All these things. Oh, I got to get to the post office on my way to work because I have a letter that I need to drop off that, you know, I need to get to across the country by Tuesday, you know. And then it continues, and that's just our day cycles. We also have weeks. Every week I need to do this, so I need to make sure to do my laundry. I need to, you know, do my dry cleaning. I need to put gas in my car. All these these ritual things that we just do. We don't even think about it anymore. We just do them. And then there's the things that we want to do. Like, oh, I'd really love to get around to learning how to watercolor. I'd love to paint in watercolors. I should take a class in watercolor painting. Or, you know, I've always wanted to hike the Grand Canyon. I'm going to plan ahead and really think about hiking the Grand Canyon. I'm going to do a lot of research online. I'm going to go to the library, get some books on hiking the Grand Canyon. I'm going to talk to people that have already hiked the Grand Canyon. And I'm going to plan to do it. I'm going to go down there. I'm going to hike. I'm going to figure out when the best time of year to hike the Grand Canyon is. And I'm going to do it. And then you think about other things in Mother Nature. Like a tree. You know, a tree doesn't just say all of a sudden, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to shed my leaves today because it's getting to be winter, and that's what you do in winter, so I got to start shedding my leaves. No, it's just a natural process that happens. We don't even know if trees have brains. I mean, I don't know if they do either. We've created nature protectors as well, you know. Like Dr. Seuss created the Lorax, who speaks for the trees. Because the trees can't speak themselves. And then there's animals. And animals may have goals. I don't know if they do or not. I know animals have emotions. They know when, at least I can tell when animals are sad and happy. But sometimes it's hard to tell if it's just that their basic necessities have been taken away, or that they're sad for a specific reason. Now, I do know that I saw two instances. Well, one of them I saw and one of them I heard. My dear friends, they have 4 dogs, and they're so great. And the eldest dog actually got a bit of doggy cancer, and she has to go to the vet continually. So last time I was over at their house, the dog, he took the sick dog to the vet. I'm not naming names just because I don't want to incriminate any innocent dogs. And he, once he took that dog away from the premises, the other 3 dogs sat at the door and just cried, and they howled and barked looking at where he had taken her. And they knew something was wrong. They knew that, you know, that one of them had been taken away, and they had been separated, you know. You saw that Budweiser commercial with that little puppy who got attached to a horse. Everyone saw that on the Super Bowl. Or if not on the Super Bowl, you saw it on YouTube. Because I didn't watch the Super Bowl, but somebody showed me the YouTube video. And then, I think that's an instance of, you know, animals get it. And then my good buddy told me a story. I think he was trying to console me at the moment, because I was telling him that that my cat had run away. He said, "Oh yeah, you know, I had a cat, and I had 2 cats, and one I had for a really long time, and it died. It tried to go away to die." And we found it, and then the other cat got so depressed, it stopped eating. It just sat there where the other cat used to be, and then one day it just climbed up on the balcony and jumped off and didn't use its cat-like features to land properly, and it just went... He thinks that the cat commits suicide because it was so depressed. Interesting that a siren's coming up right now. I tried to make that a moment of silence, but it became a moment of sirens. That was terrible. I'm sorry for the pun. Very inappropriate time to make a pun. But at the same time, it was the only appropriate time, wasn't it? We have to sort of laugh at these things eventually, you know? I think the Irish have it right. We laugh. We laugh at death. Black humor. It's dark. We know that there's dark parts. We know that there's shadows to life. So why not illuminate them with laughter? Why not give them, you know, take away their power of destruction and make them something that we can handle? You know? I think it's important. And that's why we have artists. Artists can carve it out for us. I was wondering, I guess I had it on my mind because I feel like one of the greatest living artists just left way before his time. May he rest in peace. Philip Seymour Hoffman just... He killed himself yesterday. Jesus Christ. Without getting too much into that, it sort of made me start to wonder, like, you know, does genius really have to suffer? In other words, do you really have to sacrifice a huge part of yourself, even a huge part of your happiness, for your own genius? And I think genius is really just, if we really think about it, it's just a way of looking at the world maybe 1 or 2 degrees differently than everyone else. It's just that. It's seeing the world in a different light. It's like, you know, the difference between the Irish and the English. The Irish see the world in a slightly different light, and they're able to laugh at the tragedies of life. Therefore, they've been able to brand so many of their own poets. And I think a lot of their poets have been geniuses in their own right. And you can be a genius in your field. It's almost being like a savant, you know? Maybe that's what great artists are. They're art savants. Acting savants. They're not great at, you know, being a human being. They suffer through that process. But man, are they great at showing their suffering. And, you know, I guess I should thank him because he really did suffer for his art, and he suffered for me to watch him. So, and I've watched him. I've watched him in everything he's done in film, and a few times on stage. I do think that he was our greatest living actor. And I don't know how you can make that assumption, you know, how you can say that about people. And that's probably, maybe, you know, imagine living with that stigma, what that's like for someone. Someone says, hey, I think you're the greatest living something or other. You're like, what are you talking about, man? I'm just trying to get by. I'm just doing what I'm doing because I can't do anything else. Stop bothering me with that world's greatest stuff. Stop trying to rank me in a system which is unrankable. Art is unrankable. You know? Sure, we've got the Oscars, but what are they? It's a sham. It was created by publicists. It was created by the press to stir up Hollywood, you know? All these award shows, as I've said before, they're to gain money. They're to make money. Advertising dollars. It's a completely political thing. A lot of people realize that, and a lot of people know that they still have to play into the game. But it's like, can you really measure art? You can critique art, but I don't think you can measure it. It's subjective. You know? I mean, Neil LaBute brings it up in his play, The Shape of Things. He goes, paint yourself blue and run around naked in church screaming out all the names of the people you slept with. Is that art, or did you just forget to take your Ritalin? I think that's a pretty good line, because forgetting to take your Ritalin is... Well, Ritalin, for someone with attention deficit disorder, is supposed to regulate you, right? But I guess he meant it in a way that for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, where someone becomes hyper, so in that case it would stifle one's impulses. So if someone had the impulse of running around naked in church, screaming out all the names of the people they slept with, or painting themselves blue, then he would equate it to someone having impulses to do something. And maybe Ritalin plays an important role in society because it stops people from thinking that what they're doing is art. But at the same time, who are we to stop them? It's the pharmaceutical companies that are making the money off of them, but they're not doing it so that they can regulate, our society. They're not doing it to help people. They're just doing it to make money. And if it helps people as a side effect, then, you know, great for them. They get another pat on the back. It just helps them become a credible company. Maybe my viewpoint is too cynical for such a young man, but I don't know. I guess I've always taken the cynical approach, in a way. A cynic, right? From the ancient Greek term, cynic. I'm not always too cynical. I'm not cynical when I take my Zoloft. No, I don't take Zoloft, but I wouldn't be cynical if I took Zoloft, right? So maybe there's something in that. It's just sometimes we just have to look at the patterns that are happening all around us and really think, is this Mother Nature? Is this human nature? Are we just getting too wrapped up in our own details? Should we just be simplifying our lives like birds do? Birds know, hey, when it gets cold, we migrate. When it gets warm, we migrate. That's a natural thing. But it takes us as human beings like 70 or 80 years to learn that. We, you know, that's why you see all those old people in Florida, because their bones are getting cold, their bodies get cold, so they just have to move to a warm climate. it's not a stereotype for no reason. So why does it take us so long to do such natural things that birds do like that? It's because we distract ourselves. It's because we say, yeah, you know, I have to stay in Chicago because my family's here. I have to stay in Detroit because my job's here. But we don't have the freedom. We don't have the freedom to just get up and go somewhere warmer when we get cold. We can't just start over our life, you know. We can't bring our entire family, our entire flock with us every time we get cold. No, that's called a distraction to life. It's funny that that would be considered distracting in our lives. You know, doing natural things like that. So the way we keep warm is we invent ways to do it. We invent heat. We invent space heaters. We invent blankets. Because birds don't invent those things. All they've invented is nests and some types of bird calls. But I think, you know, it's an interesting exercise to look at Mother Nature and then look at human nature and then see where it matches up and where maybe we could still learn from Mother Nature. Just try to simplify things. And I'm going to leave it at that. Thanks for listening.
Well, that's all the time we have today at Robcast Podcast. Be sure to tune in every week to find the latest Robcast Podcast at officialrobcast.podomatic.com. And of course, you can follow us on Twitter at officialrobcast. Thanks so much for listening. Stay alive.